Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Toy Skills Podcast. My name is Sibbo. Today, I'm joined by Billy. Say hello, Billy.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Very well. I'm Ross, joined by Jake. Say hello, Jake.
Hi, guys. Welcome.
Let's talk about some football, boys, as usual. I mean, we could talk about a bit about the Leeds Palace game last night, but it was a no-no. And but I thought the second half was great. I didn't actually watch the first half, but I caught the second half because I was busy. And I thought the second half was super competitive, and it looked like one of those games where a goal was due any minute. But it never came. But at the same time, I could feel like it was never going to come, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It was nice to see Jesse Marsh in the post-match. I was quite angry with him, though, because he was really inspirational at like 10 o'clock at night. And I was like, I don't need to be pumped up at this time of night, you know?
Tucked in your bed, mate, with a nice bottle of milk.
Exactly. Where's my hot water bottle? No, I mean, it was a really good match. Like, clearly on display, like, two teams are quite close to each other.
Mm.
And Jesse March spoke in the post-match about all the stuff he's trying to drill out of the players. And he has like, to adapt to his system. And it all really makes sense to what you're actually seeing in the pitch. So it's not just like, I feel like a lot of interviews are just kind of lip service, aren't they? They go with the manager says, right, we need to be stronger. We need to be, you know, we need to believe in ourselves, blah, blah, blah. And that kind of just like, this is the same stuff, copy and paste and repeat. With Jesse Marsh, I don't think he's quite got on to the media training of the Premier League, where he's just kind of like speaking quite genuinely. A bit like when Tuchel first came in the league, you know.
I think Thomas Frank's really like that as well. I see that with Thomas Frank. He goes into like the tactics of how he's set up, and it's really interesting to listen to them.
Yeah, yeah. It takes you aback. You think, oh, and then you actually tune in and listen. But that was just about it. It doesn't massively affect the league. The game that was last night. Obviously, it was important that Leeds didn't lose because they are close to being dropped into that relegation zone. Although, having watched them last night, I don't believe that they are going to be relegated. I was just strongly of the opinion that they would go into a sort of post Bielsa regression, and the quality of the players wasn't good enough to sort of be in. Well, mainly the quality of the back line wasn't good enough to be in this league, but. I'll hold my hands up and say, you know, that they look fairly well drilled. They're not like overly committing forward, but they still hold quite an edge to their game. I think that little bit of conservative play when they're not just running full on for 90 minutes is just putting a lot of, but they still seem to have the lasting effects of the fitness of Bielsa. Do you know what I mean? They're still conditioned really, really well. So you look at quite a good mix. I do see him succeeding at Leeds. I'm quite really, really impressed by Jesse Marsh's start. Boys, football tonight, we've got obviously a big one, Manchester City, Real Madrid. We'll go on to preview that in a second, but what I want to talk about first is I've been looking on Twitter and there's been a lot of sort of conspiracy theories, right? I'm a conspiracy theory guy in terms of I love conspiracy theories, but I don't really believe in a single one of them. There's quite a lot of genuine people on Twitter that believe that the league is rigged and the Everton Liverpool specifically was a blatant sort of display of this rigged league. And I'm going to go to Billy because I already know Billy's feelings on this, and I just want to get him out.
I think something definitely goes on behind the scenes. I don't think it's definitely not. It's not. I'm struggling to find the word really, but I just feel like there's something that definitely goes on, and whether it's now in the day and age that we are now, or whether it's when Fergie was around, or even further back, it's definitely happened, and in my opinion, it's happening now. Whether you believe that this one at the weekend was a conspiracy theory or the ref was being paid off or something, that's a different story. I think for the Anthony Gordon penalties, in my opinion, weren't penalties anyway.
No, they weren't for me. You know, for me, Anthony Gordon steps. So he steps. The rule's pretty blatant in terms of it's not, contact isn't enough. It's not enough to initiate a penalty. There's just to be a clear foul intended or, you know, a clear, you know, handball that stops a goal. Those are the sort of things you're looking at for penalties. Yeah. For me, Anthony Gordon, totally, he slows down his pace. He steps across Joe Matip. Joe Matip can't slow down. I don't think there's any intent of the foul there. And I don't think he's impeding Anthony Gordon's game. For me, Anthony Gordon looks to be going down or looking for somebody to go down. He's just looking for any sort of excuse to dive onto the floor because the angle's a bit too tight for the shot. So, yeah, I'm not wholly convinced it's a penalty, but I know a lot of people think, you know, any sort of... People see that as the clearest penalty they've ever seen in their lives, and I just don't see it myself personally.
No, I completely agree, and I think just getting back to the conspiracy theory thing as a whole, I think you look at some of the decisions that Man City in particular this season have had. You know, that one Rodri against Everton where it was clear handball and they didn't give it. The one against Wolves where it hit his armpit and it was given as a penalty.
That, the Newcastle was, one where Edison takes him out like 10 seconds after.
That one's a bit... I mean, like, I don't believe there's match fixing. I don't believe there's match fixing because I don't think I could really live with myself if that was the actual world we live in, because it would just ruin absolutely. You know, I don't think, honestly, if that came out that, you know, match fixing was a genuine thing and it came out, I don't really think I could continue to watch top tier football. I would obviously continue, obviously. I do a lot of lower league stuff. You know, I work in semi-professional football. I wouldn't leave football as a whole, but I don't know if I could continue to be invested in the top flight if I knew if match fixing was a thing. I still don't think, that's not me saying I think it's a thing, it's just those decisions there, I'm trying to think of an excuse of how they happened, but they're pretty inexcusable, particularly the Sierra Rodri one for me. I think it was Everton.
It was
Everton, wasn't it? Everton.
Oh, and that game ended, what was it? 1-0 Man City, I think.
1-0 like Man City.
The 90th minute as well.
So it was going to be right to the death of the game as well. But like, so for me,
they
did never
score it. And
never
it,
been a more blatant.
Yeah, exactly. That's 2 points potentially. If they still go on and score that goal, that's 2 points that they've gained. You know, the Wolves one as well was 1-0. That's 2 points that they've gained.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So it definitely makes me question it, whether you want to believe it or not. It's one of these things that is always going to be brought up, isn't it, when a questionable decision goes for or against a certain team. In this case, this weekend, I don't think it's happened. But it's definitely happened at some point in the Premier League area. For sure.
Yeah. I mean, the track record.
Is Dino tipping up in a Lamborghini? And you're thinking, wait a minute. Yeah. where did Dino get this Lambo? if anybody catches that well with a Rolex out, maybe I'll start to, you know.
There's some fantastic ones, though, I've seen about Liverpool from particularly Everton fans. And, you know, there's things like the players getting salbutamol inhalers to make them run longer and faster. Like,
it's not just a thing.
Not a thing. That's not true. Steroids, like, apparently they're all on steroids. That's why, you know,
piss tested every 5 minutes. Exactly. Every league player
independently piss tested as well. It's just like, come on, lads, just admit that this is a better, more well drilled side than yours. Like, it's that simple. Like, it's like anything. You put the time in, you reap the reward. You know, me and Simo, we're both in the military. You train hard, you fight easy. It's that simple.
Yeah, exactly.
It really is, and that's what these clubs do. That's why so many players hate Jurgen Klopp's pre-season, because he demands so much and they're so grueling. That, you know, the players hate it because it's a slog, and they'd rather play, you know, the 9 months of the season than the 2 months of pre-season, because he demands that much from them. And it clearly, you know...
Jake, do you remember two or three seasons ago, I think Millie had hit a real, real good prime of sort of fitness. He was like first in lactate tests, first in all the fitness tests, and he was getting tested like all the time, like after all the Champions League games as well, because his running stats
were ridiculous.
Yeah, they were ridiculous running stats, and he was getting tested for like sort of blood doping and everything, and obviously come back clean, because if Eton was to come back. Now, I think there's too much sort of scrutiny within top tier football. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got European testers that come out of the European competitions, you have domestic competitions.
You know, it's not just that.
I don't think there's anywhere to hide.
I'm sure that you know, if it did happen, you know, there'll be some disgruntled employee that's been sacked from a club that could turn around and say, you know, well, they dope all their players. Like, that has never been a thing. It's never come out. Mm-hmm. It's never even been mentioned. It's just one of those.
It's not just that. Like, there's a lot of medical staff employed by clubs, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, which these players are regularly blood tests, all that sort of stuff, especially when it comes back when they come back for pre-season, they get the full MOT, so to speak. You know, a doctor or the physios, they'd be struck off if they didn't, you know, raise these sort of things. Bodies, you know,
you see the amount of scrutiny that happens when a player does get caught doing anything. I mean, what was it, Grealish? It was pictured in the paper, you know, with like the NOS balloons, and like there was that photo years ago, Wilshire smoking, like having like a drag off a ciggy, and everyone was like, "When is a meltdown?" Oh, you know. I'm sure if like people were doing drugs regularly or doing steroids regularly, somewhat like we know how like scumbaggery journalists are, someone would have noticed.
Someone would grasp. Yeah. Someone would 100% grasp. 100%. It'd be a player that's disenchanted with a squad, player that's wrapped, you know, anything. I don't think that's it. But I think the main sort of accusation is match fixing through refereeing decisions, right? The case that seemed to be made, from what I could see on Twitter, was that by Everton losing and Liverpool winning, it keeps the title race alive, and it also keeps a relegation race alive, which brings more eyes to the Premier League. Right, okay, right. I think it's sound logic, but I think there's more reasons why Liverpool beat that Everton side.
The fact that Everton adds, 18% possession, I think alone, it's a statistic wide.
The referee doesn't really have much to do with it.
You know, if you're wasting time like Jordan Pickford was by dropping to his knees on 25 minutes and things like that, you're making a rod for your own back. Just go and win the game. Like, just go for it. Like, you know, these like derby games and things, they're so... The form goes out of the window in those games, you know. But ultimately, it was, you know, the team with the better players and the better drilled team won. And it is that simple. And... It's just excuses, isn't it? It's great. I love it personally. It's brilliant.
I mean, to be honest, I personally don't think. I mean, some people, and I mean, I really come across on Twitter as if they genuinely believe that, and they're
100%
strongly for it. I feel bad because, like, if that's, I think it's just looking at sort of, you're looking for, like, bad decisions are always going to happen where we've got human error as a factor. You know, one day we might have technology to develop that human error isn't a factor, and there'll be no question left whether, you know, match fiction is a factor. But like, if your team doesn't get a decision on the day, you know, there's always that sort of 12th man. You know, the referee should have been wearing red and all this. But like, I just can't believe it. You know, I've been watching football for 20 something years. You know, it's I've seen bad decisions 20 years ago. I've seen them today, you know. And I'll probably see one or two tonight when I watch, you know, a Champions League semi-final with the highest level, so to speak, of a refereeing, you know. So it's until we eliminate human error, I don't think there'll be any sort of... There'll always be a conspiracy theorist out there that thinks it.
You sat here.
Anyway.
It's Billy.
Just before we move on, Billy, did the moon landing happen and is Bigfoot?
No comment.
Let's preview the Champions League game tonight, boys. I'm very much looking forward to it. I don't think this is... A lot of people seem to be putting Man City way out in front here. I think it's a little bit closer than that, and the reasons are, I'll tell you why. João Cancelo is out with a red card, obviously a match ban. That's the big one for me. I think he's a very important player when it comes to creativity and that Man City side, which means either Ake or Zinchenko will need to come in. And it could potentially be both of them coming in at fullback because Kyle Walker is still a doubt through injury, as is Kevin De Bruyne, as in John Stones. Those are four really important players for Manchester City, which
Do
I think
want me
gives...
to give you a spoiler on the starting 11?
Go for it.
It's out.
Is it out?
John Stones, Kevin De Bruyne are starting along with Zinchenko.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, it's probably not going to be a full... They'll be lacking a wee bit of sharpness, but they're top players. I mean, that was... I think if they players are missing, I think that closes the gap quite a wee bit. Also had doubts for Alaba and Casemiro. Are they starting, Billy?
2 seconds. Alaba and Casemiro is not starting.
Alaba is Casemiro. Right. That's quite important for them. Casemiro having actually quite a good season.
He is on the bench though.
Yeah, so he's available to be called upon. Yeah, I think it'll be a close match. I'm going to have a wee look at the lineup when we finish up. I think with your sort of De Bruyne and John Stones available, that maybe sort of puts City out. If you've ever heard, my argument was going to be that if the players are missing, then the gap's not as wide as people may think. But what are your thoughts, Jake?
Again, a bit like you, Sim, I've seen a lot of people online writing this Real Madrid side off. You know, I've seen people saying 3-4-0 Man City. And for me, to write this Real Madrid side off is a mistake, because we saw what happened against PSG. You know, everybody wrote them off and they come through that one. You know, this side's got pedigree. It's got the key word, experience. It's got experience of getting through these type of games. You know, Man City, a fantastic side, but Pep's got the habit of dropping the ball at the big moment in the Champions League, and there's always that fear and probably in the back of his mind that, you know, is it going to happen again? And for me, this is a side where it very easily could happen. Like, don't get me wrong, it could go either way. Man City could realistically, if they wanted to, blow Real Madrid to pieces. You know, with their speed and the pace that they play football, they could overrun this Real Madrid side. But on the same token, if they allow Real Madrid to have the ball, you know, it's very, very tricky. And the form Benzema's in this season, you know, that boy can score goals and he knows where the net is. And it's a tough one. I think the second leg, obviously the second leg is key, but I think both sides play it safe, but don't go gung-ho in this leg. And I think the second leg is the key in this one. I think it's a bit more conservative in this game for both sides, especially Madrid, because they won't want to be, you know, 3 or 4 down going into the second leg. For me, my thought.
I think the fact that the second leg, what we played at the Bernabeu, is a point in Real Madrid's favour. I think that's the way they would have it. Same way as if I were to pick Liverpool, would play their second leg at like Anfield. I'm just looking at the lineups here. Looks like John Stones is going to step out and play right back. Yeah. Which is he's obviously capable. I mean, every player that plays for Man City is capable of settling into a number of roles. I know in a press conference either yesterday or earlier on today, Pep was asked if Gabriel Jesus was going to play right back. Just as a sort of wee dig.
The only side though that can spend like £1 billion on a squad and not have adequate cover at left and right back. It's ridiculous. They are. You look at it and you think, like, how have you not got a backup right back? Like, you spent enough on them.
I think it's just the case of like Cancelo. He could play left or right back, like, and he doesn't really lose anything either side. Either he's one. It's a strange thing because he's as two-footed. Zinchenko, I mean, isn't really, does it, even when he plays for obviously he plays for Ukraine, he normally plays right in the heart of midfield, and he takes on a sort of box to box passing and movement sort of like general in midfield. I thought he was particularly good last time I seen him out in an international shirt. So it's a front three of Foden, Jesus, and Mahrez for Man City, which is obviously quite a lot of firepower. Specifically, Mahrez from a dead ball as well is quite useful. But yeah, it's a good Real Madrid side. What are your thoughts, Billy?
It's going to be a good game. I'm looking forward to it, to be honest. I think Man City, for me, are definitely the favourites. However, it's like we said last time, Simo, you can never rule Real Madrid out in a Champions League game. And we said that when they were down going into the second leg against Chelsea, and somehow they managed to pull through. So that second leg being at the Bernabeu again will be massive for them. And I think their aim will just keep it reasonable. Keep it one goal in it, preferably, obviously.
Keep one goal in it, get back to the Bernabeu would be my mission statement if I was Carlo Ancelotti.
I think absolutely, that's going to be the key, isn't it? It's, I don't want to say damage limitation, because we're not talking a League Two side against, you know.
No, I mean, like, there's a lot of firepower this Real Madrid side. They've got, that's in this saying, game, they've got Kroos and Modric in the midfield, obviously Benzema, and stratospheric form. He's having a fantastic season, particularly in the Champions League, just delivering at really, really key moments, you know. You've got Vinicius Jr. and Rodrigo, obviously fantastic players. So they've got quite a lot. They've got a great finisher right through the middle and great pace on either side, along with two of the best passers in world football in the heart of midfield. So you can't really write them off, but I do kind of see where you're coming from there, Jacob Boy.
I think they can certainly exploit John Stones. Against Vinicius Jr., the pace I really think that's the place that Real Madrid are going to be looking at that Man City 11 and saying we can get one up on him very easily. And Vinicius Jr.'s pace is just out of this world. So a ball across the box into Kareem the Dream, and we know what his finishing powers are like. So
I mean, he could really come big tonight. I mean, I would, he's a better finisher than any Man City player, Benzema, in my opinion. I mean, George Stones as well, I don't think he's going to be 100% fit, you know, considering he's just coming back for a wee knock as well. So that's not exactly what you want when you've got one of the sort of more dangerous dribblers and pacey footballers in the world running at you for 90 minutes. So we'll see how it goes. Let's have your predictions, boys.
2-1 Man City.
Billy Boy.
1-0 Real Madrid.
I'm also going to go for a 1-0 Real Madrid. 2-1.
You're right, man. You're right. Different with that.
Righty, lads. I think that is going to do us. We are close to 1,000 downloads this month, which we've not done in a wee while because we kind of dropped off a wee bit. But, you know, we're straight back. We go over. And that's for a month period. We've actually only been podcasting for half of it. So we're doing very well. We do appreciate all listeners downloading. So if you just give us a wee couple more downloads so we can reach 1,000, that'd be great. But until tomorrow, we'll come back, we'll preview Liverpool vs Real, and we'll look back over this game and see how wrong we were. But until then, cheers. Bye.
Sports Social Podcast Network.